You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
Daniel Webster once said, "Guilt cannot keep its own secret. Suicide is confession."
Bringing Christ to the nations, the Lutheran Hour.
Lutheran Layman's League is pleased to present a recorded copy of a recent Lutheran Hour sermon by one of our guest speakers. We pray that this message will bring hope and joy to your life. Life is a precious commodity which some people want to consume in a careless way. A jailer at Philippi saw suicide as the only way to end a life full of trouble. As we turn to God in prayer, let us remember, Lord, you are the giver of life and the taker of life. Let us, in all humility, accept Jesus as the way, the truth, and the life. Give us life that is dead to sin and alive unto our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. It is a little unnerving to realize that two persons will commit suicide in the time that this sermon is being preached. One of the suicides will be a child who has concluded that suicide is the only way left. 80% of the persons who kill themselves don't want to die at all. They want somebody to stop them. The tragedy of suicide stems from the hope of 4 victims in 5 that someone will prevent them from killing themselves. The struggle with conscience may cause emotional or physical breakdowns and may even bring about suicide. Our text from Acts 16 verses 25 to 34 tells us how a man is faced with a guilty conscience and attempts suicide. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, the earth quaked so violently, the foundations of the prison were shaken. All the doors flew open, and everybody's chains were unfastened. The jailer woke up and saw the prison doors open. Thinking the prisoners had escaped, he drew a sword and was going to kill himself. But Paul called out loud, "Don't harm yourself. We're all here." The jailer asked for lights, rushed in, and fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. Then he took them outside and asked, "Sirs, what do I have to do to be saved?" "Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ," they answered, "and you and your family will be saved." They spoke the Lord's word to him and everyone in his home. At that hour of night, he took them with him and washed their wounds. And he and all who were with him were baptized immediately. He took them up into his home and gave them a meal. He and everyone in his home were very happy to have found faith in God. If suicide is truly the answer to utter despair, then Paul and Silas would be two men who should have ended their lives. They came into the city of Philippi bearing hope. They were met by despair. They came carrying a message of the riches of God, and they were confronted by the silver greed of men. They brought the message of Jesus Christ and his forgiveness, and they were confronted by a damsel who was devil-possessed. They faced racial prejudice by a mob. They were treated unjustly by the magistrates of the city. They were physically beaten and thrown into a dark dungeon by the prison warden. And yet, they sang praises to the Lord. Most of us would have said, "What's the use? Why continue to go on when life seems to be dealing us one bad day after another?" But Paul and Silas sang. What was their reason? What was their motivation? They were rejoicing because God loved them. Friend, God loves you. You may be listening today in a hospital room or confined to a wheelchair or set aside in a nursing home and saying, "That's all well and good for Paul and Silas, but what about my life? There seems to be nothing at the other end of the journey in my life except death. Why should I sing? Why should I rejoice in another day?" Friend, God loves you. We live in a world where happiness is a put-on commodity. The Saturday night party that many people attend is a means of escaping the sorrow and sadness of the week. The use of drugs and alcoholism is no more than another Houdini act of trying to escape the realities of living. Before Paul and Silas could sing praises to God, they had to say, "Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner." Before they could really sing praises of thanksgiving to God, they had to learn to be thankful. Before they could have hope, they had to experience deep despair. Before Paul and Silas could offer life to the jailer of Philippi, they had to taste the pangs of dying. Before they could accept love, they had to understand hate. Paul could later in his life write, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." Paul could go through racial prejudice, injustice, physical pain, and even taste death because Christ was with him. But that wasn't always the case. That wasn't always true in Paul's life. It was when God reached down and touched the life of Paul, when God shook him in his complacency and showed him the need of forgiveness, only then could Paul really rejoice in the dawn of another day. Paul's memory always went back to the days of his persecuting the church, denying Christians their right to accept the Lord Jesus Christ by means of physical punishment and even death. And he even caused them to curse God and to die. But one day, God let him see the death of a dying Christian, Stephen. As the last stone was being thrown at him to snuff out his life, Stephen cried out to the Lord, "Father, forgive them." Paul did not fully understand the prayer of Stephen until the day that God drove Paul to his knees, took away his sight, caused him to grovel in the dust and to feel despair. His conscience was fully awakened to the fact that his life and his conduct were not in keeping with God's will. When Paul looked at the law of God and found himself lacking in all that God had asked, then he despaired. "Lord, what will you have me to do?" And God showed him what to do, to accept Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. The conscience of the jailer at Philippi bothered him as soon as the earthquake shook the foundations of his prison and shook the foundations of his life. His conscience found him guilty before a just God. But the earthquake was only a part of his life, just as cancer or a wheelchair or a nursing home might be a part of your life today. It's only one aspect of God coming into our lives. It's only one moment that causes us to reflect on what we really are and what we really have done. God didn't end the jailer's life with an earthquake, but he did shake him and frighten him almost to death. The jailer of Philippi also heard more than just the thunder and the earthquake. He also heard the love of God. Before he heard that love of God, however, he had heard from the lips of Paul and Silas songs of praise. These men, in the darkest part of the dungeon, sang how God would deliver them. They sang how God loved them. They sang how God, through Jesus Christ, loved them with an everlasting love and would keep them and protect them even in death. He also heard Paul and Silas sing hymns of thanksgiving, how they were truly thankful that God had seen fit for them to suffer for his name, to suffer and to die if needs be. What did these men have, Paul and Silas? What drove them to that kind of conviction was that God loved them through Christ, that Jesus Christ came into their lives offering them hope and not despair. Jesus Christ came into their lives through the love of God, that they might see that their conscience did not need to condemn them, for they were forgiven all of their sins and all of their guilt through Christ's death on the cross. What seemed like a desperate moment in history when Jesus Christ died on the cross, when there was gloom and darkness in the world, God also rejoiced, as the disciples did, in the fact that Jesus Christ did not die in vain, but that he lives, and that he lives to give hope to you and to me. If God had not loved Paul and Silas through Christ, then certainly these men would have died. These men would have died in despair. Is your conscience condemning you? Is your conscience pointing you to an angry God? Is your conscience telling you that there is no hope? There were men who despaired. Men like Saul and Judas, who despaired to the point of taking their own lives. Saul fell on his own sword, and Judas hanged himself. But God wants us to live. He wants us to live for Christ. That's what St. Paul and Silas were doing. They were living in spite of themselves. They were living because of God's love in their lives, God's forgiveness in their lives, God's hope in their lives. St. Paul could write, "I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes." And that's what he shared with the jailer of Philippi, the hope in Jesus Christ. If you and I would be judge and jury of the jailer's life, we would have found him guilty of racial prejudice, social injustice, inhuman treatment of his fellow men, and the penalty that you and I would have passed down would have been one of death. But St. Paul and Silas told a jailer of Philippi that to be saved he must believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. What does that mean? It means that we must believe, trust, hope, and not despair. The jailer of Philippi remained a jailer, but his whole life changed. Now even his family found the jailer a new kind of man. God had given the jailer of Philippi a reprieve. He had given him life, not death. For the jailer grasped the fact that this Savior of Paul and Silas was a Savior from his guilt and from his evil conscience. This Savior could take away all the punishment of his life. This Savior of Paul and Silas could offer hope and take away despair. The jailer became a new man, a changed man, a man with a new outlook on life. He looked the same. Perhaps he talked the same. He still had the same wife and children, the same occupation. But he was a new man. He was a new man because he no longer despaired. He had hope. He was no longer a man who lacked love, but one who loved. He was a man who could see his relationship with his wife now as a new experience. He could reach down and pick up his children with a greater love for them. For he had been forgiven. He had been loved. He had been spared. And he had been given hope. All this was possible because he said, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are my personal Savior, that you have washed me of all of my sins, that you have taken my guilty conscience and have set me free, and that you give me a reason to live and to rejoice in being a free man." the jailer of Philippi rejoiced. He was a happy man. He now looked at life and his obligation not as one of drudgery and sorrow, but as an opportunity to offer hope. His actions proved he was a changed man. He bound the wounds of Paul and Silas. He offered them food in his own home. He listened attentively to the whole plan of salvation from the lips of Paul and Silas. And his family also became a part of his new life. Joy is a human emotion which we all would like to have. Joy is the opposite of despair, and love is the opposite of hate. God loves you and does not hate you. God wants you to have joy instead of despair. God wants you to have life instead of death. It's His choice to give you the opposite of what you feel and what you desire and what you hope at this time. Listen to God's hope again. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Do you hear God speaking to your troubled mind right now? God loves you, and He says, "Trust in My Son Jesus Christ, and you'll not have to die. Trust in My Son, and you can live no matter what your circumstances might be. You can be alive now." And that's not all. God says that kind of life will continue for eternity, forever, and forever, for Christ's sake. Amen.